I've been dying a little each day since you came back into my life.
Maybe you should go see a doctor or something.
Wait, are you not charmed with that line? No, Do you not want to marry me after I told you that?
If I do care about you, I probably would be very concerned if you're saying that I'm slowly killing you.
By simply existing. Welcome, folks, to another edition of the Spotter Pod. It's yours truly, Jeffrey Excellence. Joined as always
by the one, the only,
The big ocean. The big O, Twinkle Toes, Big Kahuna. God damn it. The Funk Man, Funk Master. How are you doing, Funk Man?
I'm doing, I'm on my funkin' day, funky day.
Funk Man Ofiana. That's who you are.
This thing that I've always been called by.
Funk Man.
Fucking hell, Jesus.
But hey, on today's spot, we are covering Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
I didn't wake up today thinking that we were going to do this, but I guess it was too tantalizing to pass up.
Yeah, it was either this or Waterboy, but see, just the allure of covering Attack of the Clones. Of
continuing our journey into the wonderful world that is the Star Wars prequels.
Made by George Lucas.
One George Lucas, correct. Hold on.
But before we get into that, do you have any lingering thoughts on ghost stories?
On ghost stories? Not really. I think
it's not exactly PC, huh?
Not exactly. I mean the exact opposite, yeah.
CP?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, all right, time for our quick overview.
Mm-hmm.
Today we are talking about Star Wars Episode 2. Phantom Menace.
That's the first one.
Attack
of the Clones.
I was about to say Cox. Cox, whatever. Oh yeah, Attack of the Clones. Which the synopsis on Disney Plus.
You know, at first I thought the synopsis was kind of insulting and underplayed the story, but you know, it was actually more appropriate than I realized.
If I recall, it's basically Padme and Anakin fall in love. Period.
About space.
Oh, and then in
space.
And that's our quick overview. This is a romance, the greatest romance story of all time told in space. Is it a better love story than Twilight? I don't know. I don't know about that. I know that that's been thrown around a lot. You know, when Twilight came out,
is greater than.
You know, plenty of people were shitting on it, but you know, I've never actually read it. I'd rather.
I'm not gonna read the fucking book, that's for sure.
Let's just not entertain that line of questioning. At this moment. And let's just
look,
go into
all I'm saying is the movie Up created a better love story in 7-8 minutes than the entirety of Star Wars.
Up is just crazy.
Episode 2 in the screen time.
That's not even fair. Like Up is just fucking.
No, look. Obviously, it's like it's high tier storytelling, but the fact that A, there's no dialogue, and B, it's in such a short time, and it dicks on the romance.
I mean, it dicks on a lot of romances in media.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, just the gap is insanely different.
Well, yeah,
like, how much
if you think about the time
more
spent,
space,
yeah.
How much more space and resources that this movie had in particular to flesh out a romance. As opposed to Up, it's just mind-boggling.
Your feels per minute is a lot better.
Feels per minute. That's one way to put it.
I couldn't think of it. But yeah, no. Ooh. Anyway, let's talk about some of the themes and tones.
I see how you have it in capitals.
In capitals because, I don't know.
For emotional damage.
God damn it.
Sorry, no. You just have emotions.
Just emotions, but no. Yeah, there's basically lots of talks. I think one of the main dynamics I guess we're supposed to be talking about, we would be talking about, I imagine, is Obi-Wan and Anakin's dynamic and how he's trying to teach Anakin not to lead through his emotions.
I think that's like a running
Jedi
theme is that the student and master relationship, as in the students, seems to be consistently defying the master.
Even though they spent half the movie, well, maybe not half, but decent chunk. I guess that gives him time. Maybe I guess it gives him time to be able to do crap that Obi-Wan.
Would that's another down. Thing I wanted to put on the key directing is the Obi-Wan and Anakin relationship. But I would say, tonally speaking, this movie is a lot more serious in tone than Episode 1. Granted, Episode 1 did have its serious moments with gravity, but I think Episode 2 had... I find there being less light moments in this movie overall.
Yeah.
If there are any light moments, you just find them in C-3PO getting body switched.
Or the greatest romance ever told, at least in the beginning, before the murder happened.
I don't even know if it was light. It was honestly kind of creepy.
It was creepy, but it's supposed, you know. You're supposed to be like, oh, look.
Point being is if a girl I met 10 years ago came up to me and said, I've been thinking about you ever since the moment we departed, I would be very confused and say, please don't talk to me ever again.
Please, no.
Do not approach me.
Emotions. But yeah, what I was getting at. So we have the Obi-Wan Anakin dynamic where Obi-Wan is like, Anakin, don't tell your emotions. And then even Padme in the beginning.
That's true, yeah. They say it's supposed to be the Jedi way, right?
Not doing anything. And then you have Anakin Padme where Anakin is being very upfront with how much he wants to be with her.
So much so that he's staring creepily at her.
After she walks away.
And then she even says, don't look at me.
Yeah. Actively refusing him. But... slowly but surely, I guess.
It wasn't even slowly. It was she straight up said, don't look at me like that or something like that, to that extent. And then he goes in for a kiss and then she lets him. And I was like, what?
I don't understand.
What reasoning or romantic implication did you have to do that, you know?
Yeah, because maybe it's supposed to be...
like, I guess he kind of flirted in the refugee ship, but like... I don't think that was really to a degree that's like, oh, girl.
The actual execution of the relationship is terrible, yeah. But I think
100%.
What they're going for, I think, is... so she starts out as trying to be stoic, too. But then slowly but surely, he...
emotional apathy.
He charms her, in quotation marks. Quote,
yes. I agree.
Yeah. And then she starts opening up and starts being more like him. Like, ignoring Samuel L. Jackson's...
direct orders from executive orders. Yeah.
Like, hey, no, F that, we're not going to stay, we're going to go save Obi-Wan and run into a fucking death factory, as
literal,
we do.
A literal death factory, yes.
So I guess that's, you know, it's about emotions.
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah. At first, I didn't quite understand, but no, you're saying that it's rather not adhering to emotional apathy, you know? Well, that's what I thought you were trying to put over. It's like, it's more you're listening to what you're actually feeling as opposed to being stoic and ignoring it, like said with Padme.
Yeah, that's probably
how Obi-Wan tries to tell Anakin.
Anakin
comes around to it, like he actually decides to leave Padme, even though she ends up being all right, to go fight Dooku.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, that's what I was going for. I was just talking about what was happening. But
fair enough.
For analysis, yeah, no, I think that would be... and the most healthy way to go about it is just process the what you're feeling and think about it. Don't do rash actions based on them. Because
how's the quote go?
Oh man! At the ending,
anger leads to heat.
Anger leads to heat. Did you say heat?
Anger leads to hate. The hate leads to
suffering.
Suffering leads to ligma.
All right, and then our next theme, I guess, is arrogance, which I guess is kind of tied into emotions.
Yeah, you know, typically in Star Wars movies, I feel like one of the major themes is having hope. Because, you know, you're in such a bleak situation, right? So you want... but the protags still feel the urge that they can fight back, that they'll succeed. But that's not really the case with... I guess there is a grim moment near the end, but even then it's not even, like, so prevalent, but... I would say, like, hubris or arrogance is more prevalent in this movie. Like, for example, even Obi-Wan is saying, like, how could the archives be wrong, you know? Like, the Jedi Order is never wrong. Or he says something, or he believes him and Anakin could take Dooku. Which, I mean, maybe they could have, right?
Maybe.
But honestly, they get spanked pretty bad by Dooku.
They were pretty...
mainly because Anakin decides to allow his emotions to control him. Yeah. But no, and then also, like, just saying things like, oh, the Jedi would have noticed if a Sith Lord was in charge of the Senate, which they clearly didn't until, like, it was too late. Like, just, I don't know. I don't think this is Obi-Wan's best showing as a character. just few, as someone who stoutly believes in the Jedi Order, he's drowning in the Jedi hubris.
A little bit.
That they're always in the right.
Or maybe that's just how good Palpatine is. He's just godlike. Because he's basically
unlimited power.
He's basically positioned himself as like the head of both factions.
Yeah,
which is kind of insane and kind of cool in my opinion.
No, he's positioned as the head of both factions.
Why can't he be the main character? Eight. What the heck? I want to see what he's going on. Yeah, he's the most interesting part of the prequels.
Not C-3PO. Not Jar Jar Binks.
No, I swear they gave him less screen time because of the backlash they got for one.
He was still there.
He was, and he got to delegate power.
Yeah, if it was such a thing for them to be like, "Oh, Jar Jar has negative feedback. Why include him in the next movie?"
Well, no, but I'm
thinking, didn't have to.
But I'm like, he's there for like all of Phantom Menace, and you're like, okay, well, we don't want to give up on him.
Why not?
because he's the key.
You know, ironically, it wasn't even Jar Jar that was like the quote unquote lighter moments. In this movie, it was a C-3PO. Jar Jar just had the weird accent.
I mean, that's what C-3PO was doing in the original trilogy too, right?
That's basically his. In the last character
that people actually like.
In the last movie, he's meant to have a more sentimental part, but
yeah, it's basically a cameo in Phantom Menace, right? It's like, hey, look, Anakin made C-3PO. Remember him?
Remember, wow. Anakin was good with machines. He's good. He's good at machines. Remember when he blew up a whole fighter battleship by himself?
I guess you know what? Yeah, theme. I don't know if it's a theme. Maybe it's like a directing thing. But like tying in the original trilogy to this one. Oh look, guys, it's Jango Fett. It's Boba Fett's father, who's a clone. Hey, look, guys, it's Death Star plans. Look, it's Luke's uncle or whatever that he ends up was at the end of the third movie.
Lars.
On Tatooine. That's why he's on Tatooine. The same where Anakin's from.
Remember Tatooine? It has sand.
It has sand and two suns or whatever.
All right, let's get into the characters and arcs.
Characters.
Mainly just Padme, Anakin, and Obi-Wan. There's so many characters, but I don't think any of them really.
None of them matter.
Develop
okay.
meaningly.
Like, yeah, tell me, how does Mace Windu develop?
He gets balder every time I see him.
Or how does who else? Yoda. Yoda's just like, things aren't going good. I don't know. People are in pain. I don't like this.
Mention with Dooku. Yeah. I think if anything, Dooku kind of realizes the flaws in the Jedi ways. That's why he's a traitor.
Sure.
So, because I do think, you know, like the prequel movies kind of, what's it called? They explore the Jedi Order and what the culture was like. Because, you know, in the last six movies, or rather the later following movies. Yeah, the original three and then like the following, you know, there's not really many Jedi to like explore the culture about and what the monk esque lifestyle was like.
Yeah.
The nomad style or whatever.
Yeah, it's interesting just because, you know, it's just I guess that's what you'd want in a sequel / prequel is expanding the universe. I guess this does accomplish. You know, whether or not those expansions are interesting or worthwhile, I don't know.
Hey, remember when you forgot that Anakin had an immaculate conception?
I will say I didn't forget I forgot that they said that in the first movie, but I am well aware that basically fucking Palpatine and
Maul?
No, it was some other Darth guy, Plagueis. Have you heard the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
That's a dumb name.
But how they just basically like ejaculated into like, space or whatever.
Hey, remember that Spider-Man comic when Peter kills Mary Jane with his radioactive
sperm? I had that comic back in the day.
That's, wow.
It was like an anthology of a bunch of smaller Spider-Man stories, and that was one of them.
Nice.
It's the only one I remember.
Well, it clearly did its job, because you remember it.
It's just so, like, awful. Huh. You know what? I guess that would be a thing to think about. His blood is radioactive. Why not his other body fluid? But anyway, let's not go too off topic. Let's start with Padme, I guess, because it's the first one I wrote down. Like I said, she, like, I guess somehow falls in love with him.
Why?
Anakin falls in love with her.
But if anything, referring back to the extent of serving one's duty, you know, and how it's explored through all these characters. For Padme specifically, you know, she was saying her duty as a senator would interfere with her relationship with Anakin, but at the end of the movie, she ends up saying fuck it and gets married to Anakin. Like,
she does nothing as a senator too, right?
Yeah, she just has body doubles die.
Yeah, she just does that and just says F it, I'm marrying him at the end of the movie. So if anything, she doesn't do her duty.
Remember how she went onto the Genosis planet and said she was going to be a diplomat? Dude.
Oh my god.
It's like going to a hostile country, you know, unannounced. Like, oh, we're just going to use diplomacy. Don't use violence. Ugh. There's no way this will go terribly at all.
Like, trust me, bro. Trust me. Look.
Kim Jong-un looks like a real nice guy. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's like when we sent Dennis Rodman to do diplomacy. That guy knows what he's talking about.
Oh, man.
All right. I guess Anakin's... Or maybe we should do Obi, because I guess... Anakin is the main character. Yeah. Obi-Wan is a big dum-dum. That's his development.
If anything, Obi-Wan is he'd be a foil to Anakin Padme in this sense, right? Because he actually fulfills his duty. Like, he does it to the Jedi Council's orders. Like, he says he wants to follow the orders to a T, almost.
Yeah, basically, he's just kind of there to complain about Anakin.
Yeah.
He feels like his character is.
Yeah.
And does some investigation.
I feel like he's better in the third movie. I feel like he kind of sucks in this one. He was good. He was kind of cool in Phantom Menace.
Yeah, he was there, I guess.
He had the cool fight at the
end. I just remember that, like, he had the same haircut as Anakin does in this one, because they're the Padawans.
Padawan learner.
I guess that's the Padawan haircut.
Yeah.
What if you don't have hair?
Like Mace Windu?
Yeah.
Then they put a faux ponytail on you. Damn. Just glue it on there.
It's rough.
This is the way.
Rough times.
Oh, wrong show. Sorry.
Anyway, we're talking about Anakin. Anakin kills children.
Yeah, straight up murders.
He started the movie out not being a child murderer.
And then he ends the movie.
Then he became one.
Hey, remember? Okay, that's another thing, Padme. What the fuck?
Well, I can get behind. Okay, look. Like, I'm going to preface this. Like, okay, in his defense. I don't know, man. I guess she's just like she pities him so much. She's like, well, shit, I can't criticize him because he's
because his mom died. He's
clearly a broken human being, so I'm just gonna fuck him.
Why not? Honestly, like, it doesn't matter. Like, why would you be interested to him? Like, like, you know, he's like super rushing things, and then B, like, he straight up admitted to you that he murdered a whole village of people, not just the soldiers. Not just the leader. No, like, the whole village. So he killed the women. He admittedly said, like, he killed the women. He killed the children.
That is the thing that in Hayden Christensen's history.
Man, Anakin's really good at, you know, child murder. Because he does it in the next movie, too.
Yeah, let's say, oh, spoiler.
Oh, yeah, spoiler for near 20-year-old movie.
All right, let's just get into notable moments. Let's try to get through this. Notable moments. Questions.
We didn't even talk about Anakin.
Oh, fuck. Anakin is...
But, he
killed children.
He veers off from his duty with Padme, but then he kind of skids the line and chooses to ignore Padme.
But then marries her at the end.
So I guess he's going against, you know, following one's duty, I feel like, is just something they were, or rather how they interpret that.
Yeah.
It's just a common theme in this movie, for sure.
I mean, hey, if you're married to her, then you have an opportunity to be near her and bodyguard her all the time if you still do it.
Even though, you know, council doesn't allow marriage, but
it would allow him to do his job better. Although I guess he doesn't necessarily like that. Well, Dom won't be his job forever.
But
I mean, whatever. She dies. She's dead anyway.
Oh, he kills her, right? Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
And he bodyguarded her real well.
Hey, you know, you can't, she can't get hurt. You
can't kill what's dead.
Yeah, she can't get hurt. She's already dead.
Notable moments. I hear these questions. All right, George Lucas, this is for you. Why did Anakin Skywalker and Padme Amidala fall in love?
Because they're the two main characters.
Yep. Because you need to have Luke and Leia be born.
Yes.
Even though there's no chemistry, because how they were written to get together is the shit.
Very, like...
Hey, I show up randomly after 10 years. Now you're into me, right? Like says yes.
The main crux of it is, like, basically him pleading, please love me. Her going, no, no,
okay, no, maybe. Not even a second. It's like, no.
No. Sure.
Then yes. Then now we're married.
Sure, but I'm a senator. But sure.
And then get married. That's basically
it. Yeah.
Why does Padme not want to vote for the army? Yeah, no, they mentioned that in the beginning. I was kind of confused. Like, is she meant to be a pacifist or something? Like,
I can believe that. I think that makes sense.
I'm all for, you know, things being open for interpretation, the characters, right? Because it makes your audience think. But at this point, it was just
too much thinking.
It was so ambiguous, you know?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Why didn't Anakin get in touch with his mom or Padme for 10 years?
I don't know. To me, and you brought up when we were watching, like a lot of times, when someone goes off for training or whatever, it's like, ooh, you're not supposed to talk to anyone to, I don't know.
Yeah, I think
strengthen your, like, willpower.
Connection to the Force, blah, blah, blah.
Sure. But I guess, maybe that's why he was so horny for her.
Maybe.
Sure. Oh, there you go.
You don't realize what you have till it's gone.
There you go. I like that one. And then the last one, I don't know. When the big fight was happening, R2, and the big laser fight, as one does just, I mean, he's a main character, that's why. He doesn't get shot up. Even though he's not a combat droid or anything, he's just in the war.
He's a luck droid.
Yeah, sure.
Because he's lucky.
I'll accept that. But anyway, any other questions? We're going to move on to...
No, let's get into the rest.
Anyway, the first one that made me like, ooh, hey, look, that's kind of cool, was in Obi-Wan's first instinct when they're being tracked by the
droid.
So just burst through the window, the glass and all, and is completely fine. And
the Force protected him.
And I get it. It's a movie. That's what happens. He's a
wouldn't be the first movie to
would not
create that sin.
Correct. And then we got the infamous sand line, which happened really quick.
Yeah, it flew by me entirely.
Because it's like immediately, it's like, okay, go to Venice. Go to Space Venice. Be in all these romantic situations, but don't fall in love. Don't do it.
But then water, and then she likes, but sand,
the
I hate.
In the meadow, the frolicking in the meadows. Anyway.
Like, man, the order of that scene, those scenes were so weird. Like, he goes in for the kiss before they do all the romancy BS.
Yeah.
And she lets him?
Yeah, no, that would make a lot more sense. Because it literally starts out with, like, one of the first things they do, he does when they get there, is go for that kiss. It's super awkward. It would be really weird.
But then she was like, nah, this is a good idea. Until she was like, nah, this is not a good idea.
Yeah.
It was not a good idea from the first place.
Very, very, very strange. Very strange. Anyway, what else we got? Oh, yeah, teasing. A lot of the... Like I said, the connections to the other, either the future movie or the past movies.
Or the next movie.
Next movie with the Death Star and the oh my god, is Count Dooku is Darth
Lord Tyrannus.
Whatever.
I actually did think that was a neat little reveal. Like, a bring it around that the Republic utilizing the clones was all part of the Emperor's Grand Master Plan.
The Cradle of War.
So it leaves lets the end hang in the beginning when you watch episode 3.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, you know. Oh no, there aren't any clone troopers, in 4, 5, and 6. So yeah, no, it really just leaves something interesting to look forward to in episode 3.
Sure, why not? Yeah, no, and I guess like the moment for me when Obi-Wan goes to like the clone planet and like I had to piece together, okay, like, what, why do they just let him in, even though he didn't come in invited? I thought that was a cool moment for me. And I guess it didn't imply, right? Like, Obi-Wan didn't know. And so it's like, oh, it's a Jedi is the one behind the clone.
Yeah, they only mentioned that, like, right at the end tail of that scene. But it was impressive how you pieced that together rather quickly.
Yeah. I would question, that's like, okay, you know, would your average audience go or get that? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
But, and I think that's, like, one of the things, at least for me, is when a movie or piece of media is a little too
nuanced.
Like, And then I'm not saying that stuff like that can exist. And, you know, that stuff can. But I think this is Star Wars, your big blockbuster.
It has a huge lore
Does have a huge lore bank. But I do feel like the prequels, at least the Phantom Menace and 2. And to be fair, the only other non-prequel ones I've seen are the first two of the new trilogy. And I've actually never seen any of the original in full. I've seen snippets of them. I know I've seen like the big moments, like all Star Wars stuff.
We'll get through it eventually.
We'll get to it.
We're definitely gonna have to see 3 now.
Honestly, yeah. Well, yeah, for 3. But yeah, I do feel like there's just a lot of talking, a lot of explaining plots. A lot of, like, scheming.
Lots of meetings.
Lots of meetings. Lots of
meetings.
Lots of, like, political intrigue. If anything,
I will say the meetings are longer in the first half of the movie. It's almost painfully so.
It is. Yeah, we'll go into the pacing and pre-directing. But the one last other thing, the most entertaining part of the movie was when C-3PO's head got switched with the droid, and it was pretty funny.
It actually was funny. I was entertained.
Yeah, it was pretty good. My favorite part, probably. Anyway, yeah, let's get into this pacing.
Okay, that action scene in the beginning.
God.
Chasing the bounty hunter. It drags.
It drags so long. It's so... And it's like...
And it's not interesting enough to keep me enthralled in it.
Yeah, because I feel like... Maybe the one thing is because Padme's life is not actually in danger at that moment after they just start chasing. And I guess, okay, look, it would be important to like gather information about the bounty hunter, but it's just so... It kind of reminds me of like Hobbs and Shaw, where here's an action for the sake of action.
Because it's an action movie.
It's an action movie. Action. This is our big summer blockbuster with Star Wars. We got to do some exciting space scene. Chases and laser beams and laser swords. That's what we gotta do. But that's kind of how I feel about most of the action in this movie. Most of the action scenes are just they're here.
It's there.
Because a lot of the pacing is like talking and then really long boring action scene and really long boring talking and then really long boring action scene. It's just I don't know. I'm not sure, and I'm not sure if just because it's like. Yeah, the fact that I don't really care that much about any of the characters in this movie doesn't help. It doesn't keep me engaged into anything that they're doing.
It's just a slog. Yeah. 2.5 hour slog.
Movie's
too damn long. That's another thing.
It's pretty long, yeah. But hey, that's what you gotta do. It's your big summer blockbuster. You gotta make it. I'm assuming it came out in the summer.
All I'm saying is Shrek was an hour. Still got over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's damn true. Anyway, and I think going back to maybe why I don't care about those characters is that the dialogue for a lot of these...
Sand?
Yeah. It's like Anakin is like this weird poet guy.
Who's angsty. So he's just any other teenager,
yeah,
I guess?
Which I guess you could argue is kind of realistic. And I'll never like... argue against
teen angst
a little bit young people being young people. I think sometimes gets criticized too much for being like, oh, that's unrealistic.
No, but blah, blah, okay, blah. Here,
but
look,
like sometimes
I get what you're saying. Like, there's a lot of telling, not showing.
Yeah,
especially like let's dissect the relationship between Anakin and Obi-Wan.
Yeah,
right. So Anakin says it multiple times, like the exact line of Obi-Wan is a father to me, or some some iteration of that, right? He's the closest. But majority of the time, they're on, actually no. There's only one moment where Obi-Wan like compliments Anakin. The other time, it's just them bickering or them shitting on each other.
They're all just bitching at each other. They're all just like, "Oh, you could have done this better. Oh, how come you're not like this?" It's all like snarky comments and comebacks, and it just doesn't seem. Yeah,
there's no sentiment. There's not really a tenderness or sweetness to the relationship. It's just more like, oh, it's my coworker and let me fuck with him.
Yeah. No, it's not even like, because in the first movie, one of the criticisms I would think is that, like, this is supposed to be, the Obi-Wan Anakin relationship is supposed to be important, but the first movie, they barely, like, it's between Qui-Gon and Anakin, and Obi-Wan just takes him in because Qui-Gon told him to.
Yeah.
It's his duty.
Yeah.
You know? And now it in this movie we're supposed to
help buy into the relationship. We're
supposed to buy into the relationship.
And look, you know how they try to sell it? It's just saying like Anakin saying, "Oh, he's like a father to me.
He's like a father to me." Here, remember when we did this cool thing and we did one thing?
Yeah, God forbid we show it or whatever.
And yeah, like basically Obi-Wan is just constantly like tired of Anakin's bullshit.
And honestly, Anakin does do a lot of bullshit.
He's not blameless. Yeah, no, it's just weird. The romance also included in that too is
like
weird.
Here, I'm gonna try to summarize this the best I can, but it's just more like these characters are only acting in a certain way because it's what the plot demanded, as opposed to this is what these characters should do in this such a scenario. It's just more like, oh, you know, in episode 4, Ben Kenobi talks about Anakin Skywalker, so we have to show how they're master and apprentice, and how in episode 4, Luke and Leia are, well, rather episode 5, are revealed to be children with the same parents, right? So we gotta show, we gotta really shoehorn this Padme and Anakin romance at the last second, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe episode 3 really is the best one, who knows?
I think it's like the only one, and I did watch, I remember watching part of it, basically the ending where
fucking dual fates. Burned. Hey, Duel of Fates was in this too.
Just to be fair, yeah, no, we'll get to that in the effects. But yeah, no, it's the writing is like boring too.
You were like a father to me, Elfie.
That's weird. That would be weird if that's true.
It's true. It's damn true.
Just like Kurt Angle was a father to Jason Jordan.
I mean,
I still can't believe they didn't pick fucking Gabe up chat. He kind of looks like him too. I was watching him at Mania. Like he's like a big dork who's technical wrestler Olympic. Like it's like
this, like when Kurt Angle was when he started out.
It's so weird to me. Like they picked the other one because I guess he's more popular because he's more attractive. I guess I don't know.
Is that what you heard or read or whatever?
Maybe.
But we ain't talking about that soap opera. We're talking about
wrestling. Not today.
We're talking about space wrestling.
Okay, I think we can move on to the effects.
I agree.
3D.
God, that pacing really is rough.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Also, I'm saying is, like, I know Last of Us is a video game. It's not quite one-to-one comparison. Yeah. But Last of Us, the first game, like, the pacing is, like, you know, I think Luke Stevens points it out brilliantly. But you have those heavy moments, then you have light moments, you have story moments interlaced with action. The action portions aren't drawn out too long. They're the correct length or severity, intensity. Like, come on, man.
You know, yeah. Come on. I think being able to space things out correctly, you know, as William Shakespeare once said, brevity is the soul of wit.
I think you've said that before. in this you have.
Probably. Yeah. but anyway. And what's also rough is the CGI.
Not as bad as the first, but, you know, I mean, it was Phantom probably Menace, fine for the time.
Yeah, basic consensus is Phantom Menace was worse. This probably looked okay in 2002.
Whatever.
But, the fact of the matter is, it just doesn't look amazing. Most of the creature designs for me, most of them just look
Remember the diner bad. Guy?
Dex. This rando that is Obi-Wan's like, "Hey, who, do you know where this fucking missile came from?" And he's, "Why is he in a 50s diner?"
Because don't they have 50s diners? And
what's it called? George Lucas was like, "You know, it was a cool idea." 50s diner with an alien. And that's how you know, whatever, how much money and time, man hours went to that, you know?
Yeah.
Well worth it. But the movie, you know, the movie, music. Yeah, the music. I'm assuming it's John Williams because he does a lot of big.
We score didn't exactly stuff. Watch the credits.
Yeah, we didn't, but I mean, he did most of the first Star Wars stuff, so I'm assuming he kept doing stuff like the Duel of Fate. I was about to say Twist of Fate.
You know what would be funny? If Mace Windu just threw a Twist of Fate on Jango and Jango's head came off.
Yeah. I mean, we had a couple athletic moves by Obi-Wan. He did a rider kick, a drop kick.
He did do a rider kick and a drop kick. Obi was having a fucking five-star match against fucking Jango Fett. Yeah.
He was getting the best match of his life before he died. Yeah, the lightsaber fight, getting into like the action stuff. I mean, lightsaber fights are...
Hey, it was the first big lightsaber fight on screen because there were multiple lightsaber wielders.
And I probably couldn't care less. We're just waving them around.
So damn shame. Cool. Sure. I thought there were some cool moments in the final battle with Kenobi and Skywalker versus Dooku. But, you know.
No, there's some nuance there. It's kind of like how you said before. The two of them might have been able to take on Dooku, but Anakin still rushed in and put himself in danger, and then they had to get bailed out by Yoda.
Yeah.
Which I think is also the first time Yoda's shown fighting in the series.
Yeah. Honestly, the Force powers look kind of lame, because it's just like, oh, I'm going to...
It's lightning, and then they're all... Small rubble. All I could think about was the Avatar... The Last Airbender one, where it's like,
underwhelming.
You have the whole troop.
You have an army to lift one like little medium, stone.
Like maybe, yeah.
You could have just thrown by yourself with more efficiency.
Yeah, that's all I could think about with the Force powers. But yeah,
it's the year 2002 or whatever. Yeah, so give it a pass, but it still sucked. It was underwhelming. Especially when you play games like Force Unleashed, where Starkiller is like fucking tanking giant, Star Destroyers and such.
Is that the new game, right? Is that the old one, right?
It's the older one.
Yeah, where you're like, Darth Vader's apprentice.
Yeah, cool concept.
There you go.
And he's just fucking everyone up. And he has all these cool Force powers.
Oh, gotcha. All right. And then the last part I have is Padme goes through like 16 different outfit changes. Some more risque than others looking. Lots of midriff.
You know, midrib,
like the iconic white one that gets ripped up like a minute like into her screen time in there, or like once they get to the Coliseum.
Into the Coliseum scene, yeah,
he gets ripped up.
She did have a lot of outfit changes in this movie. Actually like I didn't even notice it until you pointed it out because you're like, this is the same day and she changed the outfit.
Yeah, like when they arrive at the villa or whatever, she's in one, and then they're on the balcony. And they go into the
movie. If you were a queen, maybe you would have multiple.
But she's not a queen anymore. She's a senator.
Well, if you were a senator,
I guess
even though
so.
Palpatine wears the same shit all the time.
Everyone else is always wearing like the same. They're all wearing like the same robe, aren't they?
Yeah. Everyone's wearing the same pajamas that they normally wear.
Even Jar Jar.
Jar Jar giving ultimate power to Palpatine again in this movie.
Thank God.
That's basically his whole character device.
Thank God.
Because then we give power to Palpatine.
Because if not, then we wouldn't have the movie.
Yep.
The movie wouldn't happen. Okay, I think we've rambled on enough, I guess. That's all we have for our notes.
I think we've had enough. We've been through enough beers to...
But I think we got to answer the big question. Our big question for this. How does it compare to Phantom Menace? Is it better or worse?
Okay, well...
Oof.
Let's just think about it in this way. Which movie did you enjoy more?
Oh!
Rather than getting into like all the nitty gritty specifics of directing or camera shots or music or look,
right? It's hard because I feel like Phantom Menace was.
I feel like if I remember Phantom Menace better, I could have a more definitive answer.
Because I think
the forced romance in Episode 2. Honestly, like I thought when he was young, Anakin crushing on Padme, that was more authentic than. This fucking bullshit.
A little bit, yeah, no. To me, it kind of boils down to, and I kept pointing it out, this one's really boring.
Yeah.
Like, lots of stuff happened, not a lot happening. And that's why I think I lean towards Phantom Menace. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I'll take Jar Jar and young Anakin over the romance, honestly. But this one does, it looks better.
Yeah.
Visually.
Yeah. I don't know, but there's no 10-year-old destroying a whole fleet of
Nine. Yeah, that one's that's also bad. I don't know. No, I will say like the final action scene's better than the last one. In front of him.
But then again, you get dual phase with Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan versus Darth Maul, which is such a cool lightsaber. I thought that was a really cool lightsaber
fight. Yeah, that one was okay. That one was better than, I'd say the... Yeah, maybe.
No, I think it was better. I think the fucking... I think Dan Moore Wumbo combo of Anakin and Obi versus Dooku, and then if the Yoda fight... The Yoda fight had some cool lightsaber action, and the Force wasn't so lame.
The Yoda fight, like, honestly, that was, like, less than a minute.
The yell is what tickled you, though.
Hey, I didn't know that he actually had that, made that sound. You think they
just made that up for a little bit? No.
I don't know. I can't do it. I don't know which way to go. I mean, gun to my head.
They're both equally shit.
Yeah, they're both...
But two takes itself more seriously than one.
Yeah.
I think I prefer two. Just a little bit.
Because really. I think back to one, and I'm like, I don't know if I'd ever want to rewatch one again.
I don't think you'd want to rewatch two either. Though.
But yeah, and I think they're. I'm not sure. I'm like 50-50 on it. Yeah. It's like a daily thing. One day I could go for one. The other day
I think I'm gonna say two. Man, I can't wait to watch three.
I'm sure three is...
I think three might actually be, like, passable.
Because at least we can laugh at, like, stuff like the Darth Vader.
And there's probably some cool stuff, too.
And there's more child murder. and you can...
Everyone loves to see that in their movies.
And then he beheads what's-his-face. That's pretty cool. And then Palpatine can actually just be a Sidious or
unlimited
whatever.
Power!
Yeah, so I'm sure it's the best one.
Power! Dude, okay, so you know that scene? Like, I know you haven't watched the movie, but you know, like, Mace Windu's about to fuck on Palpatine, and Palpatine says unlimited power.
I think I've seen that scene.
Yeah, yeah. So, in Lego Star Wars, or rather, in Episode 9, Palpatine has a similar scene with Rey, right?
Uh-huh.
But then in Lego Star Wars, they spoof it, where Rey is walking... towards Palpatine, and then Palpatine's like saying shit like, "Anakin, I'm so weak. Please help me." I was like, "Oh wait, he's not. That doesn't work anymore."
Damn.
Like, I'm telling you, man, there's a lot of tongue in cheek.
Wait,
humor.
So did they do the new trilogy in Lego too?
Oh yeah, it's all.
Oh,
in
wow.
There. Yeah.
Okay.
All nine movies.
That's cool. Okay. Yeah, I forgot because I thought
Mandalorian's
it was
just, a DLC character.
I thought it was just going to be the original three, but like, oh wait, yeah, no, there's three whole other movies that they added. Six others.
I see what you're saying.
No, because I'm pretty sure, didn't they come out with...
They came out with one with episodes 1 through 6.
Yeah, yeah. And then they came out with this one. Okay. That's good to know. Anyway, closing thoughts. Yeah, I don't know. This shit. Go play Lego Star Wars instead. That's out now.
I'm gonna have to recommend a similar option. Please play the Lego Star Wars game that just came out.
Yeah, it's probably a better bet to get the story out of it.
More enjoyable.
Probably, I'd imagine so. Lego games aren't bad. So, yeah. That's the end of this.
Alright, folks, let's wrap things up here. I'm Jeffrey Excellence, as always, joined with the Big O, a.k.a. Twinkle Toes, a.k.a. Ophi, a.k.a. Big Kahuna, a.k.a. Funk Man!
Where does that go from?
We're not a weekly podcast, but we pretend to be. See you next time.
Ooh.